So we're holding on page 150 in Rosh Hashanah, paragraph labeled Dachov Dalet Amud Aleph Masnissin, middle of Oschop Aleph. So after the previous Mishnayos have described how they cross examine the Edim, then it says the Rosh Beistin Omer Makodesh, the head of the Beistin, the Nasi, would declare Makodesh, the month is now, Rosh Chodesh is now made holy. And everybody else would answer Makodesh, Makodesh after him. Although I'll be showing him where the Girsa said Makodesh Achodesh, that he would say that the Chodesh is Makodesh, and everybody would answer Makodesh, Makodesh. So Menohani Midi, where do we know that from, says the Gemara, that the Rosh based in Dafgas declare Makodesh. Omrav Chir Baganda, Omrav Yosi Ben Shol, Omer Rav, or Rebbe, Omer Pro, because the Pasuk says, by Dabr Moshe's Moyade Hashem. It says that Moshe spoke the Moyadim of Hashem. Now, in the simple sense, it means that he informed everybody about the Yom Tovim that Hashem had told him in Parshas Emor. But we also understand from it that it means that Moshe, in his capacity as the Rosh Beis Din, is declaring and saying Moyadim Hashem, and saying, now is Rosh Chodesh, where Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara points out elsewhere, is also called a Moy. The question Menahani Mili was, where do we know that the Rosh Beis Din has to say Mekodesh? Which, in fact, the Mishnah and the Gemara present several different opinions on the subject. There is, in fact, a Tana mentioned in a Braise in the Gemara who holds you don't have to say Mekodesh at all. Then you have an opinion in the Mishnah that says that he does it always, whether it's a Chodesh Moloi or a Chaser. There's an opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, that says only if it's a Chodesh Chaser, if it's a Chodesh Moloi, Kabal Kinshu Shamayim, then it's already been Mekodesh in Shamayim because it can never be longer than 30 days. The Gemara brings an opinion the other way around, that only when it's a Chodesh Moloi and not when it's a Chodesh Chaser. So you have several different opinions. But according to the opinions that he has to declare it, then that would be because it says Vaidaba Moshe es Moyad Hashem, so therefore he has to declare the Moyad of Rosh Chodesh. Then when the Mishnah continued, B'chala Amon and Achra Mekodesh Mekodesh Menalan, where do we know that everybody should answer Mekodesh Mekodesh, and why twice? Amra Papa, Amakra, Shetchukru Oysan. Because the pasuk continues, that same pasuk, an earlier pasuk, Eva Moyad Hashem, Asher Tikru Oysan, Tikru U is in plural, Oysan, them, Kori Be'atem, we can read the word Oysan as if it was Atem, you, plural. So therefore, you Jewish people should be replying and also saying that it's holy. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, Elohim Moyadoi, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, because the pasuk says, these are my Moyadim in the plural, so therefore, Heim Yoimu Moyadoi. So they should say Moyadoi. So that explains why they should say it all. Mekodesh, Mekodesh, Tshrei Zimni Lomeli. Why do they say it twice? Dichtim, Mekro E Kodesh, because then Mekro E in plural. So there's three different things over here. By Dabra Moshe teaches us that the Rosh Beis Din says something. Asher Tikru Osam or Elohim Moyadoi teaches that the people should answer, and that they say it twice is because it says Mikro E Kodesh. Okay. The Mishnah says, Dmus Tzuris Levonus Hoylo Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel had images of the moon in various phases and various positions. He had such designs, the tabla on a tablet over Koisel and on a wall, Baal Yose, in his upper chamber of his house, in the upper floor of his house, Shabahen Mara Sahegyotis, he would use those to show simple people, Va'omar Kazera Isai Kazer, and ask them, did you see it looking like this or like that? The point being, these Hegyotis might not be able to say, they don't know in terms of degrees, and they might not easily be able to tell whether it was pointing towards the east or the west or what have you. So therefore, he'd show them a picture, and then, of course, it would have to match up with what he had calculated, with what he and his experts had calculated, was actually the position of the moon when it was visible that night. So the Gemara asks, so Mishori, are you actually allowed to have pictures of the moon like that? Well, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Loi Sasun Iti, don't make with me. And that means, Lo Sasun Kid Musham Moshai, that means, don't make images of my servants. That means, Rashi says, Ha'umdim Iti, the ones that stand with me, meaning, in other words, obviously Hashem is everywhere, but metaphorically, we talk about Hashem as being in Shemayim, and therefore the sun and the moon can be described more as standing with Hashem, more than things here on earth, and the Pasuk is saying that you're not allowed to make images of such things. So Amar Abaya, Loi Ostra Torah El Shamoshim She'efshal Asis Kamoisa. So Abaya says, no, the Torah is only answering the kind of servants, the kind of things used to serve Hashem, that it's possible to make an exact duplicate of them. You can't actually make an actual duplicate of the sun or the moon. Therefore, Abaya is saying that's not what's included over here. It means that, it means rather, for example, that you can't make replicas of the kalim of the Beis Mikdash, or the structures of the Beis Mikdash. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in Abaya, Lo yasa odem bayis tavnis heichol. A person is not allowed to build a house that's in the image of the heichol, the same size and the and with doors in the same places and so on and so forth. Achsadra tavnis ulam, or to make an achsadra, which is an entryway similar to the ulam, which was the entryway to the heichol. And achsadra, typically we find in Shas, is enclosed on three sides and open on the fourth, and that's how the ulam was. The ulam, yeah, when you walk into the heichol, you have the whole front is open, the door into the ulam is 20 amos wide, and the ulam itself is also 20 amos wide, so the entire side is open. And then you have on the back wall, you have on the back wall that you're facing towards, you have the doors of the heichol, which are open during the day and closed at night. And then to the sides, you have the chambers that stick out on the two sides, the lishkas beis halifus, where they'd store the knives. But the ulam itself was basically like an open entryway, open on one side and closed on the other three. So you can't build an achsadra similar to that, as far as the height and then dimensions and all. Chotzer keneged azara, you can't build a chotzer that's the size of the azara. Shulchan keneged shulchan, or a shulchan similar to the shulchan in the Beis Mikdash. Menorah keneged menorah, or a menorah similar to the menorah in the Beis Mikdash. And that includes that it has seven branches. You can make a menorah, even if it has the design of the one in the Beis Mikdash, you can make it with five or six or eight branches, because then that won't be like the menorah in the Beis Mikdash, which Davka had seven. So v'shol shiva lo yaseh, you're not allowed to make with seven branches, after v'shol shamin and matchas, even if it's made out of other kinds of metals, because the Gemara explains in Menachas, the kalim of the Beis Mikdash could be made out of any kind of metal, and they're still kosher. They should ideally make them out of gold or silver, but if they can't afford it, they can make it even out of plain metal. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afshal Eitz Lo Yaseh, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even make a seven-branched menorah out of wood, Kederach Sha'osu Malchei Beis Chashmonoi, as we find that the kings of the Chashmonoim did that. When the menorah in the Beis Mikdash had been taken away by the Greeks, or to be exact, the Medrash Rabbah tells us that it was taken out by Mesiavin, who did Tshuva then, who afterwards did Tshuva, I think I've told the story before. So in any case, when the Chashmonoim recaptured the Beis Mikdash, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is saying they made a new menorah made out of wood, because they couldn't afford gold, of course. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, in fact, holds in a few places in Shas that the kalim of the Beis Mikdash are kosher, even made out of wood. The Chachamim hold they have to be dafka made out of some kind of metal. Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda holds they can be made out of anything other than earthenware. The Gemara explains in Menachos that it's based on whether we learn by a klal of prat or klal, or by a ribui miot ribui. We learn by klal, prat, or klal, then since the prat by the menorah mentions gold, then we learn that it has that's a klal, prat, or klal, meaning that it has to at least be some kind of metal. It doesn't have to be gold, but it can be anything that's in the same category, which would include any kind of metal. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda learns as ribui miot ribui, and therefore he holds that, it can be anything that's anything except the one thing that is the least similar to metal, namely earthenware. But he holds it can be made out of wood or bone or glass or what have you. Anyway, so he says, you see that the Chashmonoim made a menorah out of wood. Omru loy mishom raya, the Chum say from there you bring a proof. Shvudin shal barzel havu. Actually, what it was is they used iron spits. Now Tosfos points out it wasn't strictly speaking spits, which are used for roasting or whatever. It just means they didn't have all the decorations on them. The decorations that mentioned in the Pesukim, the Gemara explains, is only when the menorah is made out of gold. Here, it was made out of iron, so they didn't need all the decorations. Therefore, it's more like plain poles, and therefore it's called shvudim. The chippum bevats, and they plated them with tin. The point being, Tosfos Yerid elsewhere explains that after a while the tin would tarnish, and therefore it would look dark colored, and therefore you, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, are mistakenly thinking that it was wood. Then they continue, hashiru, but in other words, the point is, the Chum say it had to be made out of metal, so they plated it with tin just so it should look a little nicer, but with whatever resources they had. Hashiru, asom shal kesef. Later on, when they became a little richer, then they remade the menorah out of silver, and then when they became really rich, then they made it and the other kelim of the Beis Hamikdash out of gold again, like they were supposed to be. But the point is, the Chachamim say, you can't make the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash out of wood, therefore you would be able to make a wooden seven-branched menorah, because it would anyway be possible for the Beis Hamikdash. The point that Abaye is getting at over here is based on this Braisa that was saying the only thing that's also to make are things which are replicas of the things that are used to serve Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, but not that, but not sun and moon. That wouldn't apply because you can't make actual replicas of them anyway. But the Gemara asks the Shamoshin Sheyefshalasis Kamosin Mishari, even servants of Hashem that you can't make exactly like them. Is such a thing mutter? V'hatanya, we learn in another braisa. When again, lois sasun iti, the pasuk says, "Don't make with me." And again, that means the ones, the things that serve Hashem, so to speak, in his private apartments, so to speak, means lois sasun kenus shamoshe hamashamshin lafonei b'morim. So again, that means don't make images of things that serve. So the first braisa just said kenus shamoshai, like the images of the things that are used to serve me. So therefore, Abaye can explain that it refers to the kalim of the business, to the kalim and the structures of the business. But now the second braisa clearly says, I'm a shamshin lefane b'morin that serve before me in the heavens. So that would include the sun and the moon. But Abaye says still, loy ostra tera elud musa bo ponim bahadi habdodi. Fine. The Torah is only answering, as far as that, is only answering to make the four faces together. You have the Chayis HaKodesh, which Yechezkel described as having four faces. You would be also to make something, that one goof that has the four faces like that, you would be also to make. That's what it means. Shamosham, Shamshon, Lefanei B'morim, which those are the Chayis HaKodesh, which, so to speak, carry Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, that you're not allowed to make images of. But the sun and moon, so far, we're saying is not a problem. Now, doesn't that contradict what Abaye said before? He himself said that the Torah is only asking in the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. So Tosfos explains what Abaye means is from the Braisa, you can't really prove one way or the other. As far as we're concerned, you could interpret the first Braisa to mean that it means only that it's a problem making replicas of things of the Beis Hamikdash. Now that we have the second Braisa, you're right, then we can still leave the first Braisa to mean that. We can say the second Braisa means something else. It means the Chayis HaKodesh. The Ran has a long discussion about it also, and the Ran says actually what Abaye is saying is there still would be a distinction between one and the other. He says that, for example, the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, you can actually use them. So it would be, you're not allowed to, even if somebody else made them for you, then you're not allowed to use them. On the other hand, here we're saying, as far as the Chayis HaKodesh, you're not allowed to make them yourself, but if somebody else made them for you, then maybe you'd be able to have them on display. So the Gemara says, after, by that logic, if you're telling me the problem is only all four faces together, parts of Adam Lachode Tishrei, then just the human image by itself should be mutter, because the human image is only one of the four faces in the Chayis HaKodesh. Alama Tanya, well then why do we learn in a Braisa? Kola Partsufis Mutarim Chutz Mi Partsuf Adam. All images of a Partsuf, there's a big machlokas among the Rishonim, whether the word Partsuf over here means specifically a face, or whether it means the entire body only. So would it be a problem only having an image of a face or like the bust of a person? Or are we saying that it would be that even that would be a problem? You have different Rishonim learn different possibilities on that. Anyway, so Braisa says any of those are mutter except for the paratzuf of a person. So Omer of Huna Breder of Idi Mipirke da Abaye Shmieli. I learnt in Abaye's shir, Pirke is a shir that they would have in those times, especially on Shabbos. So I learnt from Abaye's Pirke that when it says Lois Sasun Iti has another meaning, Lois Sasun Oisi, means don't make me. Now Hashem, of course, doesn't have an image, but Hashem is often described in Pesukim in human form. We have the Rambam mentions one Navi sees him, pictures him as a young man, another one as an old man, and so forth. So therefore, a human being is the image in which Hashem chooses to project himself to the Nevi'im. Therefore, when the Pasuk says, Lois Sasun Iti, doesn't only mean don't make the Shamashim that are with me in Shamayim, it also means don't make an image that is used as the representation of me in Pesukim, namely of a human being. So therefore, yes, a human being by itself would be Osir, but other than that, the Torah is answering only the four faces together, but not, for example, if let's say you were to make an image that has only the other three faces, the Shur, the Nesher, and the whatever the other one is over there, the Aryeh, the lion, then it would be Mutter. So the Gemara asks it now. The fact is, though, that if you do make it with the person, again, the question is, what about, though, you have, the fact is, all four of them include the person as well. Tosfos discusses, you could have an example. Let's say you have, first, you have the image of the person, which, let's say, somebody else made it for you, and maybe that would be mutter. Now, though, you're not allowed to add the other three to it. That would be the previous issur that we're mentioning. But the Gemara asks, there is, by the way, there was quite a lot of discussion among the poskim about many ins and outs of what the Gemara is saying over here and what the maskana is, the halach. For example, you have the question, when it comes to it, first of all, again, like a pouts of Adam, does it mean dafka an entire human image, or does it mean only a face is enough to trigger the issur? Also, would it be a problem if it's flat or only if it's three-dimensional? And what about, for example, about
Rabbi Lozer Rekeach, a famous Rav of a couple hundred years ago. At one point, when he was coming to become the Rav of Amsterdam, the Jewish community over there was so happy they got official permission from the government to strike medals with his picture on them in honor of him. And when he found out about it, he disapproved of it on the basis of some understandings of our Gemara over here, that you can't have a coin over there with a human face shown on it, and therefore they ended up melting them all down, and nowadays that metal is actually quite rare because of that. Now you just have they have now this thing for the Siyum Rambam. They minted a medal that they plan to be giving out in front of 770 with a picture of the Rambam, and it's a little questionable in halacha because you have a full face over there. Poskim do talk about, if you have, for example, usually on coins, you don't have a full face image. You usually have a profile like you have on American coins or whatever. Then there's much more of a heter for that, because then you don't have a complete pouch of anyway. But whether it's allowed, whether it's also only if it's 3D, or whether it's mutter, whether it's mutter when it's flat, there's a question in that. There were rabbonim over the centuries who wouldn't allow their portrait to be painted, or closer to our times, wouldn't allow themselves to be photographed because of these issues. Although eventually the usual understanding seems to have come to be that it's fine, which is why we do have paintings and later on pictures of various tzaddikim and various rebbeim. So the Gemara asks, "Shar Sham Loshin Mishori," but are you telling me then that the other things that serve Hashem, including the sun and the moon, it would be mutter to make images of those? V'hatanya, we learn in another brayso, "Loi Sasun Iti." When it says "Loi Sasun Iti," means "Loi Sasun Kimush Hamoshai Hamashamshin Lafonei Bamorim," that serve me in the heavens. And this one specifies, "Kugon Efanim Usurah V'Chayis Hakodesh Malachi Asharis." So it gives examples of the various types of malachim. So not just the Chayis HaKodesh, which have all four faces together, but even the other types of malachim, which are basically human figures with wings. Amar Abaye, but Abaye says, like Osir Torah, Ala Shamoshin Shemodir Elyon. Fine, based on that Braisa, all the Torah is saying is Osir, is the Shamoshin that serve Hashem in the higher realms of Shemayim. The Gemara mentions in Chagiga that there are seven levels of Shemayim, where in the higher levels you have the various malachim, and then in the lower levels you have the sun and the moon, and the planets and stars and whatnot. So this Braisa is talking about the malachim, which are in the higher reaches. It's not talking about the sun and the moon. But the Gemara asks, "Are you telling me then that the ones in the lower realms are mutter?" Well, Tanya, we learn in another brisa that when the pasuk says in the Aseret, when the pasuk says earlier in the Aseret Hadibros that you're not allowed to make loisasel chafesel asher b'shamayim, that anything that's in the heavens, that means l'rabes chamo levonim kechovim avazolus, you're not allowed to make images of the sun, the moon, or stars or planets. Mimal, when it says Mimal, up above, Lurabis Malachi Asharis, that comes to include. You can't make images of a Malachi Asharis. So we see from this last Braisa that you can't make pictures of the sun and moon. The answer is no. Kitanya Hai L'Odom. No, because that last Braisa is talking about if a person is making such images to worship them, then he's also to make them. So far, the Rabbi Gamliel's images are obviously not to worship them, so therefore, based on that Braisa, there's not necessarily a problem. In that case, if you're talking about to worship them, forget about the sun or the moon or malachim or whatnot. You wouldn't even be able to make an image of a tiny little worm if you have plans to worship it. That itself is an issue not to make any kind of image to worship it. You're right. In fact, that is true. And that's what the Braisa is talking about, the Tanya. As that same Braisa continues, that when the Pasuk says in the Aseret HaDibros, Asher Ba'oretz, you have a Loisas L'Chofesel, Asher Ba'Shamayim Mimal, Asher Ba'oretz Mitochas. So Asher Ba'Shamayim, we said, means the sun and moon and whatnot. Mimal means the Malach HaShoretz. And then when it says Asher Ba'oretz, L'Rabbis Horim U'Gvois, it means that a person is not allowed to make images of mountains or hills. And again, obviously, that's not, a person is allowed to make a mountain where he's stand, you know, a person can, you can make, for example, you know, kids playing with sand can make themselves mountains or something. So we're talking about, obviously, the Braisa is talking about where a person plans to worship that image. Yamamunahoris, or a person makes an image of a sea or seas or rivers, afikim or valleys, the geoyas, or actually Rashi translates afikim as springs of water, the geoyas or valleys, and mitachas, when it says basheva or mitachas, l'rabas shalf or cotton, that comes to include even the tiniest worm that a person is not allowed to make an image of that in order to worship it. So yeah, that Braisa is talking about images for worship, it's not talking about stam making pictures. Or art, or pieces of art, even three dimension. But the Gemara asks, "Asir greatest amishari." So you're telling me that just making them without intent to worship them is osir, is mutter. V'hatanya, we learn in yet another brisa, loy sasun iti means loy sasun k'mus shamoshe amasham shalafane higoyin chamo levana kechavim lazolis. This brisa very clearly says the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. And this one is not talking about, now this one is not based on asher v'shamayim mimal, like the previous brisa, where there we could say that one is talking about loy sasun l'chofeso v'chol tmuna, which is for intent to worship them, loy sashach v'lehem v'loy sa'avdim. Here you have the pasuk loy sasun iti, which is not talking about worshiping them, it's just talking about the images that you're not allowed to make b'chlal, even without intent to worship, and it includes the sun and moon and so forth. And the answer is, Shaini Ram Gamliel da Cherum Osoloi. It's different in Ram Gamliel's case. He didn't make these images himself. He made them, he had others. He had Goyim make them for him. Now, Tosfos points out, usually you have that Amir La'akum is Osir, but in this case, first of all, the Gemara is going to point out that there's a valid reason to make it, but besides that, anyway, not necessarily would it be a problem given that this kind of thing is mutter for them themselves. They themselves, they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, but they don't necessarily have the Isurim of making images like that. By the way, in this connection, the Rambam holds, when it comes to the sun and the moon, the Rambam holds, even flat pictures of them would be a problem. And Noisa Kalim on the Rambam explained, which is why the Gemara didn't answer over here. The Gemara could have easily answered that Ram Gamliel's pictures were flat. You don't have to say that they were sticking out of the tablet or the wall. You could say that they were painted. So some Mephoshim say, fine, it's more likely that he made them 3D because then it would be easier for the Edim to recognize one versus the other. But other Rishonim point out, based on the Rambam, that no, when it comes to the sun and the moon, it's also to make even flat images of them because they don't appear to us 3D in the sky. They appear to us flat. So therefore, the representation of them as we see them would also be also, which is a good deal of interesting discussion about that. For example, when teachers are having kids draw pictures in class, and they have them draw pictures of the sky with the sun and the moon, there's taka a question in halacha, and ideally, therefore, I think Rav Moshe has in one of his trivus, for example, ideally they should have the kids, for example, draw only a quarter of the sun, like put the sun in the corner of the page or whatever, and then you're not drawing the entire globe of it, only like part of it. So again, with Ram Gamliel, we're saying over here, he didn't make these images, Goyim made them. So they want to ask, the Rav Yehuda da Achirim Osoloi, but we find the case of Rav Yehuda, who had a ring with a seal on it, where it was made by Goyim, but Omele Shmuel Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which was Shmuel's favorite nickname for Rav Yehuda, Smi Ene Dedain, deface the image, deface the image on this thing. Now you have some Rishonim learn that it was actually the image of a person's face, and that tells the case. He's telling him smei ene. He's literally telling him put out its eye or do something to partially deface the image. Other Rishonim learn that we're talking about that this ring had an image of the sun or the moon on it, which again, when you stamp it, it's going to make either the ring itself has a 3D image on it, or it's recessed and it's going to make a 3D image when you stamp with it in wax or clay or whatever. And anyway, according to that, what Shmuel says, snei ain't a dedain, again means somehow ruin the image so it doesn't look any more like the sun or the moon. Anyway, so even though it was made by Goyim, Shmuel is still telling Rav Yehuda you can't keep it. And the answer is, hosim choisme boilatahba. The answer is, in that case, the signet on the ring was sticking out umishum chashda. The problem is because of chashad, because you have people are going to think that people are going to think that maybe he's keeping it as his personal avodah zarah. So when it's flat or when it's recessed below the surface, people don't worship such kinds of things. But when you have, when it's sticking out, it's maybe not full 3D, but it's in relief, then some people might worship such a thing, and therefore Shmuel is telling Rabbi Yehuda, you have to deface it. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, the tabas, that if a person has a ring with a sign on it, if the seal on the ring sticks out, if it's in relief, you're not allowed to wear such a ring. However, you would be allowed to stamp with it, because when you stamp with such a ring in soft wax or clay or what have you, it'll make a recessed image. So therefore, there's no problem with that. There's no problem with surah hasura. On the other hand, if the signet on the ring is incused, if it's engraved below the surface, then the other way around, you're allowed to wear it, but also locked in, but you're not allowed to stamp with it, because when you stamp with it, it's going to produce an image in relief. By the way, on a level of Chassidus, there, the Alter Rebbe talks about, the Alter Rebbe has some long maimorim in the Siddurim Dach about what's accomplished when we put on tefillin. Tefillin are called a signet. See, many kachosim al libecha, kachosim al zereacha. In Shir Hashirim is referring on a deeper level to the tefillin, and the Alter Rebbe develops at great length over there the point that you have our tefillin, well, and the Eidishter's tefillin. One of them is like a signet that sticks out, and the other one is like a signet that's recessed, and each one produces the opposite kind. So, in other words, the same way Hashem's tefillin evoke a complementary thing by us, and vice versa, our tefillin evoke a complementary thing by Hashem. And he has a long arichos about what that means in terms of olamos and spheres and what happens. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda's ring had an image in relief, and that was why Shmuel told him he has to deface it. So therefore, it would be also, even though Goyim had made it for him. Now, at this point, we're saying, what's Rabbi Gamliel? Maybe after all, his images were in fact flat. But the Gemara asks, first of all, since when are we concerned about chashad, that if a person has an image like that, people might think that he's actually worshipping it? We have the example of the shof the Yosef shul in Nauda. Shof the Yosef means literally it moved and it settled. So Rashi explains, first of all, it's the name of a place, it's the name of a neighborhood in Nauda that was called shof the Yosef. Then Rashi brings that some say that it's called that because it was destroyed and then rebuilt, and the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Gemara mentions in Masechta Megillah, the Shechina was always there in the shul. It had been built with stones that they took, that Yechonia and the people who went with him, the Chorosh Vahamaskir, took from Yerushalayim and built this shul with it in Babel. So therefore, so it was made with stones from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, and the Shechina was always there in Babel. The Gemara says, actually, the Gemara mentions in Megillah, sometimes it was there, sometimes it was in a different shul nearby there. Else, there are Rishonim who learn that it was actually made not just with stones from Yerushalayim, but actually from the Beis Mikdash, that they actually took stones from the Beis Mikdash and built the shul there. So therefore, it was called Shof V'Yosef. Shof meaning it moved, V'Yosef, and it settled, because the actual stones there were moved from Eretz Yisrael and brought to Babel, and the Shechina also moved from Eretz Yisrael, moved from Yerushalayim, and settled there. Anyway, so there was the shul there, and now there, called Shof V'Yosef. Dehavave Andarta. There was an Andarta over there, which is an image of the king. Some Mephoshim learned that it was just there, it wasn't like the king was trying to force them to break Yiddishkeit, it was just like you have nowadays, sometimes you have statues of important people in some places, other Mephoshim learned maybe it was a matter of Zera, whatever the case. Rav and Shmuel, and Shmuel's father, who was a great Talmid Chacham in his own right, and Levi, would all go in, and they would daven there in that shul. And they're not concerned about the chashad, so why should we be concerned? Just because there's an image or a statue over there, that there would be a problem of chashad. The Gemara answers Rabbi Mishayim, because different when you have a shul where a lot of people are there, but Rabbi Yehuda's ring is used only by him, so therefore Shmuel is telling them there's a problem of chashad. Well, the Gemara asks for Rabbi Gamliel, Yochidu. Well, after all, with Rabbi Gamliel, if we assume that his images of the moon were in fact 3D, or at least in relief, then don't you have the problem? He's a Yochid as well. So even if Goyim made it for him, it should be exactly the same problem as with Rabbi Hoda's ring. And the answer is, Kivin and Nasi, who shchichi rabin gabe. The answer is, since he was a Nasi, there are always people there, so therefore he's not considered a Yochid, he's considered a Rabin for that purpose. The same way as in that shul of Shofi Yosef, they could have the king's image, the king's statue, or whatever, and it's not Osir, the same way Rabin Gamliel can have pictures of the moon in his house, even if they're in relief or in 3D, and it's not considered, and there's no problem with Chashad because there's Rabin involved. We don't suspect that the Rabin are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Another possibility is these pictures of the moon of Rav Gamliel were made out of pieces, so they were like a jigsaw puzzle or something, so therefore it's not a complete image. Another possibility is he made them only in order to learn, so like we said in the Mishnah, that he needed to use them to interrogate the Edim, so it was being used for the purpose of learning and teaching Torah. And as the Pasuk says, like Soma Lasses, you just like it says about Kishuf, you're not allowed to learn Kishuf to do it, but you can learn these kinds of things in order to understand them and in order to teach the Halacha and Paskam Halacha about them. So the same way, according to that, Rav Gamliel could make these things, and according to that, some who shown him learn. In that case, we don't even necessarily need the answer anymore that they were made by Goyim or that they were flat, etc. They could even be 3D, and they could even be that Rav Gamliel himself made them, and nevertheless, this Lamed would allow it. So the result is there is quite a lot of discussion in the poskim about all the ins and outs of this, what kinds of images are and aren't Osir, which ones are Osir only in 3D, which ones are also even flat. And so on and so forth. So there's a lot about it in Yerodea and Simon Kuf Mamala. There's a lot of dinim about it. Okay. Mishnah says, Maisa Shabo Shnaim V'Omru. It happened once that two Edim came and said to Beis Din, and they said, Re'inu Shachos V'Mizrach V'Aris V'Mailim. We saw the old moon in the east in the morning, and we saw the new moon that same night in the west. So now earlier in the previous perek, the Gemara explains that the moon is invisible for a total of a minimum of 24 hours from when the old moon disappears until the crescent of the new moon is first visible. So here they're saying that within a 24-hour period, they saw the old moon. Now the old moon sets after the sun rises. The old moon rises before the sun. It rises before the sun. Therefore, it's possible to see it while the sun is still below the horizon, and then you're going to see it in the east near the sun. Then in the west, it set in the west at the beginning of the month. It sets shortly after the sun, and therefore again, when the sun is below the horizon and not washing out the moon with its light, then that's when you would see the new moon in the west. So here they're saying this both happened on the same day. Rabbi Yochanan Manuri, Eid Sheker, and Rabbi Yochanan Manuri says there must be false Eidim. It's impossible for the moon to be visible so close together. But when they came to Yavne, Rabban Gamliel accepted their aids. The idea being, because Rabban Gamliel knew by calculation it was visible that night, the fact that they said they saw it in the morning, Rabban Gamliel doesn't care about that, either because we could say it means maybe they saw a patch of cloud that they thought was the moon, and Bechal, that Amman points out, look, you know, Beis Din doesn't concern itself with the visibility of the old moon anyway. They're only concerned about whether the Edom saw the new moon. So as far as we're concerned, whatever they said about seeing the old moon, we discount that. It's irrelevant to their Eidos. The only relevant thing is they're saying they saw it on the night following the 29th, and Rav Gamliel calculated that that was possible, and therefore he accepted their Eidos. Another example, V'oid bo shnayim v'omru. Then it happened once that two Edim came and said, Re'inuhu bizmanoi, we saw the new moon in its proper time on the night going into the 30th, over the leil iburei lainira. Then it came the night after the Ibur, the night after the 30th, and everybody was expecting they should be able to see the moon. If they were able to see the moon on the night after the 29th, so soon after the Molad, then surely the following night it should be possible to see the moon more. The Lo Nira, but in fact it wasn't seen. Some Mefarshim explain that the Leili Burda Lo Nira is actually part of what the Edim themselves are saying as well, but the Rashi takes it that not. It means that the Mishnah is narrating what happened. That here these Edim said they saw it the night after the 29th, and they came the next day, the 30th, to Rav Gamliel's Beis Din and testified. That night, following the 30th, everybody was expecting to see the moon, and they didn't see it. The Kibbon Rav Gamliel, but Rav Gamliel accepted that Edus. Amr Abdosi ben Hokinas, Ede Sheker, Hein, Abdosi ben Hokinas, again says, they must be false Edim. Heyach me'idim ala isha sheyolda, how could you possibly give Edos about a woman who gave birth, olamacha kreisa ben shineha, and the next day her stomach is between her teeth, and in other words, that she's pregnant again. It's impossible. It's impossible. So the same way over here, if the moon was visible the previous night, it has to be all the more visible tonight, and if it's not, then it shows that last night they were lying and they didn't see the moon. But Rav Gamliel again ignored that, because again, the fact, whether we can see the moon the night after the 30th, he says, is irrelevant. The fact is, we saw it, the Edom came and said they saw it the night after the 29th, he calculated it was possible, so fine, the fact that nobody saw it the night after the 30th, okay, maybe it was cloudy, maybe whatever, but not our concern. Now, this was actually, when this took place, was going into Rosh Hashanah. So it comes out, according to Rav Gamliel, having accepted these Edim, it comes out, Elul was 29 days, and Rosh Hashanah would have been, the one day of Rosh Hashanah would have been the next day, the first of Tishrei. According to Rav Dosev and Hokinas' argument, it would be that Elul was actually 30 days, and the real Rosh Hashanah would be the next day on Aleph Tishrei. So a day later. And Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Dosev and Hokinas, I accept logically what you're saying. It's true. It's impossible. If the moon was visible last night, it should be invisible tonight. Therefore, it has to be that they're false Edim, and that means that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, should really be a day later. Now, this is a problem, because Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din, and people are going to end up following him. Rav Dosev and Hokinas is one thing. Mefoshim point out, for one thing, he was old, and he wasn't the Av Beis Din, first of all. He was a respectable Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, not that many people necessarily are going to follow him. But Rav Yeshua is the Av Beis Din, and people are going to follow him. And also, Rav Dosev and Hokinas was old, and not necessarily is Rav Gamliel going to be able to make him come to him. But Rav Yeshua, he could. Rav Gamliel realized he needs to make a public demonstration that what Beis Din decided is valid, and nobody can argue against it. Otherwise, people are going to be celebrating Yom Tov on different days, and it's going to be a big problem. So Rav Gamliel sent Rav Yeshua a message. Gozer ani alecha, I am ordering you that you should come to me b'makelcha, holding your walking stick, Uhma Isecha, and holding your money bag, on the day which you believe is Yom Kippur. Meaning, in other words, that here Rav Gamliel had said, so let's say, for example, let's say the 29th of Elul that year had been a Sunday. So Rav Gamliel was saying that Rosh Hashanah is the next day, which is Monday. Yom Kippur would be a few days later, then would be the following week, Wednesday. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua believes that the Edim were false Edim, and therefore, according to him, Rosh Hashanah is actually Tuesday. Therefore, Yom Kippur is going to be the following week, Thursday. So Rav Gamliel is telling him, on that Thursday, which you believe to be Yom Kippur, I want you to come with your walking stick and your money in order to publicly demonstrate to everybody that you accept that Monday is Rosh Hashanah and Wednesday is Yom Kippur, and not Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. Why did he tell him to bring both his walking stick and his money bag? The Orach Haner points out like this. There's a machlokas mentioned in a couple of places in the Gemara. Does the whole concept of the issue of carrying apply on Yom Kippur? Now, we know the halacha is that it does. Whatever, the same way as you're not allowed to carry outside an Erev on Shabbos, you're not allowed to on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara mentions machlokas about this in some places. So to be on the safe side, Rav Gamliel can't just tell him to bring his walking stick, because that won't demonstrate to everybody that he's accepting that it's not Yom Kippur. Maybe he's carrying the stick, because he holds you're allowed to carry Yom Kippur. Therefore, he has to tell him to bring his money as well. On the other hand, the money people usually carry privately. So it wouldn't be so obvious. So the money at least has the advantage. It's muktzah. There's no question. You're not carrying, even if you're allowed to carry any kippur, you can't carry money. It's muktzah. But on the other hand, that's more hidden. Therefore, he has to tell him to bring the stick as well, which is something more obvious. So this way, he's covered all his bases. For the same reason, Ben Yehoyada says he didn't tell him to eat on that day. Because again, whether he eats or not, people are not really going to notice. He wants a public demonstration that Rabbi Yeshua accepts his plaque. That today is Yom Kippur and tomorrow is not. So the continuation of the story we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Gula, Chavdalad Odebez. We have what it says at the end of Masechta Sota, that in the times before Mashiach, and if Masechta Mashiach, Chutzpah Yaske, Chutzpah will increase. So that ever talks about, we have to use this chutzpah for good. That means to demand and so to speak, order Hashem with tremendous chutzpah that Mashiach has to come a poyo mach. And Hashem will certainly be satisfied and happy with that kind of demand and that kind of order and in fact fulfill it. Halachas of Shabbos, continuing on. So we talked about a person's clothes getting wet on Shabbos and what he's allowed and not allowed to do with them. So now, when a person is walking along and he comes to a canal or some kind of water channel like that, he can jump over it even if it's wide. Even though normally you're not allowed to jump or to take wide steps on Shabbos, because it's not covered for Shabbos, but here you're allowed to rather than getting wet. It would be better to jump over it rather than going around it, because going around it, then you're walking extra and you're not supposed to walk extra on Shabbos also. You're not allowed to cross it again, because then your clothes are going to get wet and you have the problem of schita that you might wring them out. In fact, even in places which are slippery, you might fall into the water for the same reason you're not allowed to walk in such places on Shabbos, for the same reason, because you may slip and then your clothes are going to get wet and then you may come to sleep.